The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 5 at 5.
Welcome back, Quentin Time, on your Thursday. Russell at Bear back with you. Trey Wallace on the road. Parker Pewitt is in with the top five at five. Parker, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. First time sitting to Russell's left.
That's up. You're in the big. What is it like in Trey's chair? Is it warm?
Trey's got a big head, I'll tell you that.
Whoa.
I was talking about the chair, not the headphones. Is the chair hot? Is that weird when you sit down in somebody else's chair
and
it's like?
Me and Bear get.
Well, I mean these are the hot seats over here. Welcome to the big time. Let's see what you got.
All right, number one, Tiger Woods is about to tee off at the U.S. Open in Pebble Beach. There are currently three golfers tied for the lead at 5 under: Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, and Louis Oosthuizen. Bear will give us a more in-depth look at the scoreboard later on this hour.
Bears U.S. Open scoreboard leaderboard update center just around the corner. Hang with us for a deeper look at the Open.
Number two, Kyrie Irving is parting ways with his agent ahead of his upcoming free agency to join Jay-Z's agency, ROC Nation Sports.
Is it weird that Kyrie Irving has turned out to be such a weirdo? Like, I know he is one.
No, he's a mega millionaire professional athlete. A lot of those guys aren't wired right.
I remember when he was at Duke, and I know he was hurt for a lot of that, but I remember just looking at him saying, that kid seems like a guy who's young man who's got his head screwed on straight, seems like he's bound for big things. And even his first couple of years in the NBA, and then it comes out he's a flat earther. He can't get along with LeBron. Doesn't like playing on a good team. He's gone to the Celtics, and that's been a disaster. He's switching agents. I mean, he is a mess.
The agency has ties to the Nets, so many Nets fans are speculating the move indicates Kyrie is heading to Brooklyn.
So this is Rock Nation?
Yeah, ROC Nation.
Good luck, Kyrie. Good luck.
Number three, CBS Sports released an article today ranking the SEC football coaches. Number one was Nick Saban.
Oh, I was going to say Mason, but yeah, Saban, he's pretty good.
Roll down tide.
Whose hot take was it that Mason's a really good coach?
Trey brought it up yesterday. It said he was underrated. Yeah. Is he underrated?
No.
I mean, I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think he's...
I think he's a typical Vandy coach. If Tennessee hadn't sucked, we'd be just... He'd know what the bottom of our boot tasted like.
I think that when he gets fired, whenever that is, I think teams will be lining up to hire him as a defensive coordinator. I think he's an elite defensive mind.
Oh, yeah. We proved that at Stanford.
Who do you think was number two?
Let me go with Kirby.
Yeah.
Nope.
Really?
Jimbo Fisher.
Ah, okay. He does have a ring. Yeah. Still getting used to Jimbo being in the SEC. Kirby number three?
Kirby number three. Number four was Dan Mullen.
No shocker there.
And number five was Gus Malzahn.
Okay. He's been in the title game. Yeah. And he has a ring. As a coordinator, right?
Yes.
Derek Mason, where do you think he was?
Ninth.
Let's say the lower third, yeah.
He was number 12.
Okay.
And Jeremy Pewitt came in at...
Did you
call him Jeremy Pewitt, or are you trying to, like, induct him into your family?
I said Pruitt.
No,
Pruitt's
right,
number... Wait, are you going to say 13? Is that what you're about to tell me?
11.
Yeah. If he... But
you can't rate him. I mean, you can't rate him any higher. Like, he hasn't done anything.
No.
He's 5-7 all time, so you can't... There's plenty of time to climb that list. He can climb that list. We all hope he will climb that list. I mean, where was Kirby after he went 8-4 his first year? Maybe 8-5. I think he was 7-5 and then won a bowl game.
He was 7-5 the year. Was that the Hail Mary year?
Yeah, I mean, he was probably no better than 8th, I would say, on that list.
Well, he's got to beat Vanderbilt. Number four, Bleacher Report has released its NBA draft big board.
Did you just quote Phil? Yeah, you're
trying to get in good with Philly?
Okay. All right.
It's a bold strategy.
The top five include Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett, Jarrett Culver, and Jackson Hayes. Tennessee's Grant Williams came in at number 16, one spot above Kentucky's Tyler Harrow.
I tell you, I'm worried about Grant Williams, man.
I'm not.
I keep seeing these. I mean, I'm not worried about him long term. Obviously, he's going to be fine. But I'm worried about him making the first round because I'm seeing more and more mock drafts where he's right on the outside looking in.
Admiral Schofield came in at number 45, and Jordan Bone did not make the list.
Jordan Bone's probably more than likely going to be playing in Europe next year, man.
Yep.
Number five, former Tennessee sprinter Christian Coleman wins the 100-meter final of the IAAF Diamond League Championships.
Diamond Leagues.
He finished with a time of 9.85, which is the fastest 100-meter time of the year.
Moving.
Xinye Chi finished second with a time of 10.01, and American Mike Rogers finished third with 10.04. So Christian Coleman seems to be the front runner right now to win the gold in next year's
9.85 in the 100. Bear, how far do you think you could go? How many meters do you think you could run in 9.85 seconds, your fastest? You understand what I'm asking? Like, where would you – like, 9.85 seconds, like, he can run 100 meters.
Right now or when I was a teenager?
No, right now. I don't want to hear you lie about how fast you were when you were a teenager.
It's not a lie. Number two, why do you do this? What are you doing?
I'm not trying to make fun of you.
You are. Yeah, you are.
Do you think you're faster than me?
I'll put it this way. Even if I wasn't, to quote a buddy of mine, Marshall West, I guarantee you, if you beat me in the race, I would take you and turn you upside down and drive you into the ground like a tent peg.
We're just trying to race, man. You don't have to get violent. And by the way, if you were going to get violent and I'm faster than you, how are you going to catch me to, quote, turn me upside down and drive me into the ground like a tent peg?
Keep in mind, I know where you live. And I know where you work. Retribution would come.
Are you threatening me?
No.
Okay, then. I'll bet right now, 9.85 seconds, I think I could make 50 meters in 9.85. 50 meters? I mean, that's half of the 100. Not under 10 seconds? I think I could do that. With my gangly rear end, crouching into a starting pose. Like, I mean, the question is, am I going to pull a back muscle, a butt muscle, or a calf muscle? Am I going to have a Kevin Durant, like, Achilles explosion coming out of that starting
block? With you, I would say more likely you would have, like, some kind of major something could go on with your back.
I can't even bend over into the starting block, whatever they call those things. Like, I'm just going to start standing up. Can I do that? I just start standing up, sub-10-second 50-meter dash. That's what I'm shooting for.
Oh, I was thinking, I thought you said 100. I was like, what the hell are you
talking
about?
Check it or wreck it, I could do a sub 10-second 50-meter dash.
I'll check it.
We could probably set that up outside, right?
Yeah.
Do we have a tape measure somewhere around here? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I feel a fan-run physical challenge coming on. I think Parker Pewitt could cover that ground in, Bear. I mean, he's a young-looking, good physical specimen here. He's in good shape, obviously works out a little bit, takes pretty good care of himself. You work out? You look like a runner. Are you a runner?
I ran track in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Why did you get up and move?
Because I got to work on the podcast. There's a lot of things behind the scenes.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on here you don't know about, Bear.
What?
Just calm down. Still don't know how I feel about you physically threatening me over beating you in a race.
Hypothetical race.
865-546-8200. Parker's appearance on the show this afternoon is presented by the official Bank of the Drive, Citizens National Bank, where you can earn 1.75% on a free checking account at Citizens National Bank. Bank local, simplify your life by turning to CNB for all your personal banking needs. They've got a variety of checking and savings options, plus chip-enabled debit and credit cards. Plus, they're right here in your community to help you safely and securely manage your everyday cash flow and build your rainy day savings at Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Tennessee gets a commitment yesterday in football. Defensive back Lovie Jenkins from Ocoee, Florida, 3-star. Solid offer list, Notre Dame, Louisville, and Pitt. I mean, we're not exactly recruiting against Alabama and Clemson there, but Notre Dame was in the college football playoff.
Right.
Louisville and Pitt, ACC schools now. This is one of those guys that Jeremy Pruitt is just going to have to take a flyer on, because he learned, you know, if he didn't learn that first year when he struck out on those 5-star corners he was chasing right up to signing day, he struck out on a couple last year, you're going to have to work hard to identify the diamonds in the rough. You're going to have to work hard to identify the guys that might not necessarily have that elite offer list, but you find them. And this is a guy that, you know, we've taken a couple of these kids now in this recruiting class. You go 4-8, 5-7. These are the kind of players you have to take, and you better hit on them, because until you start hitting on them, you're not going to get to 8-4, 9-3, which is the kind of record you're going to have to go and get the aforementioned players that Bama and Clemson are chasing.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it's always been. I mean, just specifically for here, when Johnny Majors finally got the program up and running in the early 80s, when our recruiting he started recruiting at an incredibly high level. And then there was a class where he brought in, I think between 2 years, it was like 9 quarter. I mean, everybody's wringing their hands and clutching their pearls about recruiting 2 quarterbacks. Majors, if I'm not mistaken, it was 8 or 9 quarterbacks he signed in 2 years.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just it was a completely different era. You could do that because you didn't have the 25 scholarship per year rule.
Right, but, you know, the wins went up every year. As soon as Tennessee, I mean, we started getting – big-time recruit after big-time recruit, and it built starting in the early 80s all the way up to, you know, its peak, what, in the mid to late 90s with, you know, Haynesworth and, you know, like Big John Henderson and all those guys. But
Jenkins is ranked the number 807 recruit in the nation and the number 61, excuse me, cornerback, according to the 247 Sports.
Now, how
composite.
Tall is I mean, does he fit Pruitt, 6 yeah. foot 2, 210?
He's listed at 6 feet, 180.
A little bit shorter than I thought Pruitt liked, but.
Good-looking athlete. Nice-sounding prospect. A guy that, you know, you coach him up and hopefully he can come in, makes a special teams impact, and who knows, maybe as a junior or senior, he turns into a starter or a role player for you.
There's a lot of times where Tennessee will offer guys, and then 6 months later, they aren't number 800 and something in the country anymore. That's happened several times.
It does, yeah, and that's why I look at those rankings, and, you know, you take it with a grain of salt, and you wonder – okay, now that Jeremy Pruitt, known defensive back guru, has offered this kid.
Right.
I don't know that Bama and Clemson are about to offer, but I wouldn't be surprised if
some other SEC schools.
Auburn, A&M, you know, maybe LSU, like some of those other schools. I'll tell you this, those Florida schools are certainly going to have to take note. Also ask the question, who feels better about their quarterback situation, the Vols or the Titans? Donovan says Titans, but honestly, probably the Vols, as a or he says blindly, I'd say the Titans, but honestly, probably the Vols. As a season ticket holder to the Titans, I do not have any hope in Marcus Mariota. I'm hoping we go 0-for next year and luck into Trevor Lawrence. I think Donovan probably knows that Trevor Lawrence won't be draftable until 2021. I mean, that is possible. I hate to think like that. He is such a good prospect that it's hard not to think a little bit. But, I mean, it is possible if you're the Titans, if Mariota falters this year and they let him walk. And
you suck for another year.
And you're not high enough to draft a great quarterback.
Suck for Trevor.
Or you take a quarterback and you see what happened. Maybe you start him. You know, maybe you pull a Cardinals with Josh Rosen. They draft a quarterback high in 2018, start him. It doesn't go well. They go 3-13, and they get the number one pick. Oh, man.
You'd be happy if they got Lawrence, wouldn't you?
I would put up with 6-10 this year, 3-13 in 2020 if I knew I was going to get Trevor Lawrence. Oh, yeah.
I'm pondering.
I'm a Titans fan, man. I've seen 3-13 before. I know what that looks like. I got to do other stuff, man. I'll use my Sundays to go fishing, or I'll take up golf or something. I'll come back in 2021 when we got Trevor Lawrence.
I'm debating really hard about whether, since they're retiring my guy's number.
What?
McNair.
What? Wait, what are you about to say? You want back on this bandwagon?
There may be it's not about wanting, right? If I want to get on it, I'll get on it.
I don't know that you will.
Says who?
You've done nothing but run down my Titans for the past 2-3 years, however long you've been on this show.
And what did I say it all stemmed from?
And now you want to plant the seed?
What did I say it all stemmed from? What did it stem from, Russell?
Releasing Steve McNair, they had to do it. It was a business decision. You can't keep McNair.
You don't get rid of Steve McNair, my friend. He was the franchise. He gave his all for the Titans, and they threw him out like yesterday's trash to the Ravens.
My friend Chris, the Redskins fan, is appalled. Is your thing about jumping? You've got Dwayne Haskins up there. You realize they're talking about building another stadium or renovating RFK up there?
I mean, FedEx?
Yeah, they just built FedEx Field, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I never thought they should have moved from where they were. What was it? Was it RFK? The old one? Yeah, RFK.
What a legendary place, man. Remember how the whole upper deck used to, like, bounce at that place? How unsafe that place looked?
It was named after Bobby. So
what's that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
Was that a really morbid joke?
No, it was named after Bobby. It added a cool factor to it. You're playing in Bobby Kennedy Stadium.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's.
T-Carp up next on the drive. Hello, T-Carp.
Hey, guys, just driving down to North Carolina for some beach fun. Listening to you guys for a few hours has been good. According to the wife, when it comes to mashed potatoes, you use both. And she agrees with you, Bear. Gravy is not needed for good mashed potatoes.
Man, I don't need any gravy on mine.
I kind of agree there. Like, I feel like gravy's overrated.
Gravy is overrated? Am I in the freaking Twilight Zone
as
right
a
now?
Condiment? I consider it just a condiment.
I agree with Bear on this one. Like, it's
another related news. Hell has frozen over. Me and T Carp have found common. No, you hold on. You hold on. Me and T Carp never agree on anything, and now we finally do. And I want to enjoy it for a split second before I take a shot at him.
T Carp, gravy is not a condiment. You can't go through McDonald's and say, "Oh, could you throw a couple of gravy packets in the bag, please?" It's gravy. You got to cook it, man. It's not a condiment.
You don't even know how to make it.
Well, but you can go through, like, these good old-fashioned country restaurants. You can say, hey, can I have a cup of gravy?
And, yeah, you can go through the drive-thru, T-Carp, because they used to do it at Popeye's.
Yeah, so you can.
Throw me a cup of extra gravy in there.
Now, is gravy, that's the real question, is gravy a condiment? I'm going with yes.
No.
I agree.
Oh, that's absurd.
No, it's not.
Gravy is a condiment. You got to put gravy on your ham and cheese sandwich. You make it home.
You slobber
it
all over everything you eat at holiday time. It's a holiday condiment.
A holiday condiment?
You heard me.
You're just making this up. You guys are stark raving mad right now.
Well, you're mad.
I've been called much worse than stark raving mad.
I apologize for that.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Has there been any update with the running back situation when it comes to recruiting it? The Maryville prospect, has he done anything or said anything? I know he's like top 15, and I feel like no one's talking about him.
I think Tennessee wants him.
I mean, do you honestly think he'll go to Tennessee, though?
I think if they offered him, he would. Be his biggest offer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they've offered him. I think they
want
him.
Is that his biggest offer, his best offer right now?
No, his best offer is, I think, Penn State. Or I think Alabama's offered him, too. So if you look at his stuff, he's got like 20 or 30
I'm not throwing off. I've seen the kid play. I'm not throwing off on him. He has a committable offer from Alabama. There's a huge difference. Not many kids. I mean, a lot of kids say they've got an offer from Alabama, and they may, but some of them are not. It's not what I would call committable. I hope he comes to UT. I think it'd be, you know, we've talked about this before. There's been numerous kids in the area that I felt like could have helped UT.
Last update, the latest news article that pops up on a Google search for T. Hodge 16 days ago, Arkansas's Rivals site. He got the Arkansas offer. They are after him hard. He says that right now Tennessee, Kentucky, Purdue, Michigan, and Ole Miss are recruiting him the hardest.
See, I could see him fitting in real good. Surprise me at Arkansas.
He's listed 6'2", 230.
That's like Jeremy Pruitt's
Jeremy Pruitt running back, man. We need to get this kid.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to be my big Maryville homer here, but when you have a 6'2", 230 guy that's, you know, a four-star or a very, very high three-star, you got to get him. You know, he fits your prototypical mold. Put him at linebacker. I mean, but you got to get the kid. You got to get him on campus. So how are we doing offensive line-wise? I know yesterday another guy kind of left for medical reasons.
He retired, according to the university.
Is that the word they're using now?
Yeah, it's throwing Russell for a loop because they don't actually
weird.
Because
the
last thing they will ever do is say they're employed by the university.
Well, how could a 17, 18-year-old kid retire from anything?
Especially a sport that he doesn't get paid. I mean, you retire from the NFL because that's your job. You get a salary.
He quit. He gave up, or he didn't quit. He gave up football. He was forced to give up football
by the medical staff.
So does that mean because I'm not playing high school football anymore, I've retired from high school football?
Yes, you're a retired football player, T. Carp.
Yes, that's great. My goodness, when it comes to the Titans question, you guys know how I feel about Garantano. Have you heard my prediction? What's going to happen yet, Russell?
For JG. There are so many out there. I'm sorry. Are you the one who's telling me like he's going to be benched at some point and Shrout is going to take over?
Yes,
your take?
He's a Garantano hater.
I'm not a Garantano hater. I'm just a Garantano realist. I'm kind of like with Phil. I mean, he's a quarterback that will get you six wins and six wins at pass. That's my feeling on it. I don't think he can make reads over the middle or make good checkdowns. Like, his check down is it deep? Is my first read, or is it, you know, to the running back out in the flats? He doesn't have that second or third read capability. Or he hasn't had the time to, but when he's had the time, he still hasn't shown the ability to. And he can't read the defense before pre-snap to make those reads.
God, man.
I'm just not a fan.
I just think it's a really harsh criticism for a guy who threw for well over 300 yards and was named SEC Player of the Week for against a Kevin Steele coached defense at Auburn last year, and I'm not saying that he's going to win the Heisman or anything like that, but I'm just saying give that kid some protection. He played behind the worst offensive line I've ever seen in over 30 years of watching Tennessee football. Give him some competent, not great, just competent protection, and let's see what the kid can do.
Well, he does have one of the best quarterback coaches I've seen. I'm a huge big fan of Chaney. I think that if he can't do it under Chaney, he just can't do it. How's that? And he has the best coaching right now that he'll ever get. So he's got to do it this year, or there's no year for me for JG. Guys, see you. Have a good one.
Thank you, T-Carp. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. Somebody's asking about T. Hodge and his relationship to Randall Cobb. He is Randall Cobb's nephew. Randall
Still
Cobb, another great tornado.
How he? Yeah, but T. Hodge was a tornado, and then he became a rebel.
Well, that's like transferring from
Tennessee
Auburn
to Alabama,
yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. Wonder how that sat with Randall. Those, I mean.
6 foot two, 230 pounds. He says he's ran a 4.47.
I'd tend to believe that. Is his leg completely healed? What'd he do? He broke his leg.
Broke his leg last season. I saw a video of him. Somebody posted online like one of those Snapchat things or something of like his somebody, a family member or friend or somebody like giving him a car.
Right.
Did you see that?
No.
They were like detailing it or something, and they said, by the way, this is your car.
What kind of car was it?
It was an Infiniti. It was, you know, it wasn't a brand new car. It was
right.
A very nice car for a high schooler to receive.
Right. Huh.
Do those videos make you tear up? Somebody give you something?
No.
See somebody that are like, oh, you know, here's your, you take them out back, and they like the Russell Wilson thing. He takes his mom to the house. What are we doing here?
No.
This is your house, mom. Here's the keys.
No, not really.
Doesn't make you tear up.
Not when you see like a son give his dad Super Bowl tickets or anything.
No, the one that I did like, and I didn't tear up, but it touched me. Was the kid that went and found the car. It was his dad's old car. It was like some old fastback Mustang that he'd had when he met his mom,
mm-hmm.
and when he had to get, you know, when he started his family, he had to get rid of his car. And then fast forward, I guess, 20 or 30 years later, and his son went out and found the car that his dad had sold and bought it back for him.
What about, and this will test whether you have a heart or not, the troops come home and surprise their wife or child video? You don't cry at those? I'm about to tear up just thinking about it right now, man. How do you not? The hell is wrong with you? Oh, a big tough guy. Never cry about anything.
No, I didn't say that.
Strong
I just said
men
I don't.
Also cry.
I said I didn't get teared up over that.
Dude, I tear up when I see the troops come see their dogs for the first time.
I'm more likely to get teared up,
man,
over that.
So beautiful. Troops coming home. Especially like when it's a big tough looking guy, and it's like his baby girl that he hasn't seen. Oh man, you start to tear up, aren't you? Like, I'm gonna make Parker cry. I'm gonna make him cry. Hold on, Bear. I'm close. I've almost got him. What about when it's the mom? When the mom comes home and she sees her little boy, she surprises him in preschool. He's like sitting there in the circle, and she's standing behind him, and he turns around, and it takes him a minute because he hasn't seen her in a while. And he looks at it, and he's like vaguely recognizable, and then it hits like that, and he just runs into her arms and just starts hugging. Everybody's crying. There's like people around there clapping. Oh, my God.
The night we got bin Laden.
But you cried about that.
I got a little teared up, yeah.
That's so weird. You're so weird, dude.
Yeah.
You're so weird.
Tears of joy. We put that dog down.
Stay with us. It's The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Coming up, we'll get more of your phone calls. Plus, we'll find out who's on the docket. Brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. The Drive rages on. Fox Sports Knoxville's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
That makes me want to cry. Not tears of joy, just sadness. That's sad. That's the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
What'd you say?
He said he teared up when Tennessee beat Florida. A Butch Jones football game brought tears of joy to your eye.
That's inexcusable.
That's awful.
I lost my voice, too.
It's just awful.
I feel really like me and you are the two guys here at the station that have, you know, we were of age during the glory years.
It's kind of a fun thing to hold over the heads of all the youngins, isn't it?
God, I mean, they have no idea, man. You have no idea.
Here's how sick I am. I almost hope we never come back just so you all don't get to experience and I get to have that over you. No, I'm just kidding. I hope we win.
You're a psychopath? Really,
yeah.
I mean, you have no idea what it's like. We didn't just it wasn't an expect win. We thought we were going to win every game, including Alabama and anybody else that wanted to drag their sorry ass in here.
So I didn't get into this because one of my New Year's resolutions is not to get into Twitter arguments.
Right.
Which I'm doing really – you've noticed. I'm doing really well, right?
It's kind of boring around the Twitter streets without you there.
So earlier this week I saw somebody had tweeted like Tennessee's 0-30 in their last 30 games against top 10 teams.
Right.
And I tweeted out how, yeah, that sucks. We're awful, whatever. But it makes you remember what you're talking about, the days when you walked in there and it didn't matter. You're playing Florida in the Swamp. You're playing Notre Dame. You're playing Bama.
Whoopity-doo.
You expect to win.
Yeah.
And somebody hit me with like, oh, that's a false narrative. We lost plenty of those games and blah, blah, this number. I was like, yeah, well, I didn't say we went undefeated. I said we expected to win.
It was a mindset. We walked in there with our chins up, swaggering.
And
I remember walking in there in the 90s.
We lost plenty of big games.
Well, sure, usually Florida.
But it was usually close. And
nobody wanted to play us.
And we always expected to win.
I mean, we were Tennessee. Nobody wanted to play Tennessee. Even if you beat us, you lost.
And it took a while to, like, get to this expect to lose thing that we've become accustomed to around here.
That's sick.
It was the Oregon game when they came in here, when Chip Kelly brought his team in here. What was that 2010?
The rain game, storm rain.
That was, like, the first game. Even the Kiffin year, that was the first game that I went into it expecting to lose. Like, just not even any realistic hope of winning. And that's happened so many times since then, over the past 10 years or so, that it's just, oh, man.
What was the worst, going out to Altson?
Well, that might have been the worst. Just no chance.
Outside of Alabama,
going to
obviously.
Oklahoma was pretty, that was awful. No realistic chance.
You got crushed.
But we played kind of well that game. When we went to Oregon.
Out there, we played well for like 8 minutes of the first quarter, and then they just crushed us, didn't they?
35-14 or something.
Yeah, they pulled away late. I mean, it was not a competitive game.
No. I mean, they're playing with us.
Oregon beat us by 50.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that was ugly.
That was awful.
I called for a Tennessee upset on the drive.
I remember that. Idiot. What were you thinking?
What an idiot.
Oh, we could do this. Maybe if Worley gets hot and Rayshon Neal's pretty good. Right? Right? It's like, dude, they've got Mariota.
There was a year I picked us to beat Alabama.
They're averaging like 78 points a game. We don't have a defense.
I think I even got Fred fired up to go along with me on that one.
Beat Oregon and Outson. What are you talking about? Big Josh is next. Good afternoon, Big Josh. You're on the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Hey, Russ, Bear. What's going on?
Not a whole lot.
Hey, I was 10 years old in 1985. Dale Jones, Tony Robinson, Darrell Dickey, Chris White. These young kids today, they're better fans than we were, Russ, to be honest with you.
That's true. That's so true.
I don't see how they've...
We were spoiled. We were spoiled brats.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, I never knew anything but winning. It's heartbreaking watching this, what it's become. And I dread to see football come, man, to be honest with you. That's how bad it's got.
No, I ain't like that.
So, honestly, Josh, the kids that were born, Tennessee fans born, like, 1975, that's the perfect sweet spot. If you're 10 years old in 85, it's when you finally, you know, 10, you really understand it, everything about it. You grew up during the just absolute high cotton days of Tennessee football.
Old enough to, like, you missed the end of the battle era and the, like, the early, like, majors struggling, losing to Rutgers era, but you came of age when it really started to catch fire.
Yeah, right when the bear was dying. You know what I'm saying? That's when I...
When the bear was dying and the Vols were being born.
Right.
How morbid is that?
You know,
pretty bad.
I wonder what would have happened.
Roll down tide.
If we would have kept Fulmer and he would have brought those two quarterbacks in here.
There's no telling.
What would have happened?
I don't
think. You know, he had Dabo Swinney and what was the guy, the swim coach from Michigan, the one we ended up the board?
Yeah.
And he ended up hiring Clausen.
I just think back, what if he had hired DeBoer? Because DeBoer put together, everybody likes to clown on Butch and that whole staff, but I'll give the devil his due. DeBoer, that offense he had when he had Dobbs and Hurd and Kamara and that crew, I mean, we put up like record-breaking numbers.
Sure.
Yeah, we were loaded on offense, but we just –
That's an interesting what-if. What if he had hired DeBoer instead of Clausen?
That's one of those things, man. If we could get Fulmer, the truth serum in Fulmer, and ask him anything, it's like, who would you hire in 08 if you had it to do all over again instead of Dave Clausen?
Probably DeBoer.
There might be somebody – Josh threw out Dabo. You know, there might be somebody else out there that he could have hired.
Dabo was on the list, man. He was on the list, I remember. And, he says everybody's aligned over there. And the problem all those years is we didn't have any leadership. Do we really have leadership now? Do you believe that, Russ?
Compared to what it used to be, yeah, sure. I mean, I can tell you this, Josh, because I speak to some of the people who are over there. And they say that – it's night and day difference. They believe in Coach Fulmer, and
I mean make no mistake, Coach Fulmer's in charge of the athletic department.
And he's trying to get it back to where it was, where everybody helped everybody and all that stuff. And maybe guys like us just think, oh, that's corporate mumbo jumbo, and at the end of the day it's about winning and all that stuff. I guess we'll see. But when Dave Hart was there, there was a I don't want to say a culture of fear, but there was a lot of backstabbing and just infighting and stuff you don't want over there.
He was a horrible leader.
It's not conducive to creating a winning environment.
Well, I hope it has changed, man. Really, I hope it's changed because these kids that we were talking about earlier, I hope they get to see us good again, man, because, my kids have never seen us win, They've never seen us any good.
It'll make them that much more appreciative when it finally happens.
I drug them down there for 10 years watching games. And
keep dragging them down there.
But no, I'm not going back till we start winning. They've got enough of my money for – I got to see it this time before I start coming back. But, hey, did y'all ever hear what was the story on the kid that retired? Did that story come out? Was it health or –
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got some kind of medical condition. They aren't saying what it is, but, yeah, it was a complete medical red shirt or medical scholarship now. He can't play football.
And y'all were talking about the camp kids, and you were talking about that a lot of times they get higher stars. I don't have any problems with them offering kids they see. I would rather them hire offer and get a commitment from a lower-rated kid they see than some of these Butch Jones four-star commitments we brought in here that couldn't play a lick, Because that kid that they signed from St. Louis, I don't know if y'all seen his film, but that lineman impressed me more than the defensive back did.
Me too.
Kid's a monster, man.
Spraggins, he's huge, and really quick on his feet, too.
There are no soft kids coming out of that program.
Well, I hope they can get it turned around, man. I don't know. But in the meantime, you need to keep watching them Bravos, Russ.
On a roll. On a roll.
Yeah. Boo.
It's a huge weekend. We can already put it on the Phillies and extend this lead.
Let's go, Phillies.
22nd payroll in baseball, Bear. 22nd, and we're still getting it done.
Y'all ain't got a closer, buddy.
Luke Jackson.
Don't need one when you're just drilling people. Seven in a row, Josh.
I've had
seven
enough of this.
Seven in a row, two sweeps back-to-back, undefeated homestand.
Yeah.
First place, man. anyway, y'all take care. Hang in there.
See you, big guy.
Thank you, Josh.
Don't encourage Josh.
PTR, we all need encouragement, Bear. We all need encouragement. PTR, you're on the drive. No, PTR?
No, PTR dropped.
865-546-8200. Portions of the show brought to you by East 10 Warehouse and Distribution. With almost 40 years in the industry, East 10 Warehouse and Distribution is the preferred source for third-party logistics. Their solutions include warehousing, inventory management, order fulfillment, pick and pack, cross-docking services. Contact East 10 Warehouse and Distribution today at 865-521-6143. That's 521-6143. Or just visit them online at east10warehouse.com. That's East 10 Warehouse and Distribution. Coming up, the shocking conclusion of the drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We will get to Will when we continue next. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Pocket. Brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DAG today at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
A Connecticut town has barred municipal employees from wearing slide sandals or flip-flops to work.
What? Oh, to work. Yeah. I can see that.
Well, that would throw a wrench in the fan run situation if we were to ban that.
Who wears slides and flip? The interns?
Trey Wallace and Cody McClure.
They wear flip-flops?
And one Vol Rimmermill was spotted in flip-flops earlier today as well.
Really?
Yep.
I stopped after you made fun of me.
I stopped after it got so darn cold in here that I would freeze if I wore flip-flops every day. But I enjoy me a good pair of flip-flops. But Mary Pepe, Director of Human Resources in Greenwich, Connecticut, tells the Greenwich Time that the policy took effect June 1st and was not made in response to a specific incident, but to create safer conditions and avoid accidents that can result in injuries, absences, and workers' comp claims. No more sandals to work.
Now I've got this this guy that works for me at my other job. He likes wearing slides, and this is definitely a job you cannot wear slides.
Well, it's a it's a different time, man. Like you used to,
what?
Even like 20
because
years ago.
It's 2019. You know, just throw safety regulations out the window.
Well, just. Hey, even like 1970, I look at like pictures of old radio stations. Like I follow a bunch of old, we call them old radio guys on Facebook and Twitter. I'm friends with them and they always posted pictures from like back in the day. They all had suits on, you know, even like working at little stations. You had a shirt and tie on at work and suspender. Like these guys were looking sharp, man.
Oh, who was it? It may have been it was either the John Lennon documentary I watched last week or it was one of the Beatles, either George or John. They were talking about this studio they were going to record in over in France. And the music, like, you were required to show up in a jacket and tie.
Hey, that's the way it used to be.
I mean, and at Abbey Road, apparently those guys wore like lab coats, and I mean they were scientific.
Oh yeah,
about
Sir George Martin. Yeah, I mean he's over there producing Sergeant Pepper in a 3-piece suit.
Yeah,
Beatles are all wigging out on acid around him, sneaking off to smoke weed,
shoot horse in the bathroom.
Do you want to come over here and record this Mellotron again?
No, I don't think I do.
I don't think so.
I think we got it right the first time.
I'm practicing hard.
You want to come over and drop some acid with us? George Martin with the Beatles, I'd like to turn you on.
Meanwhile, a Rhode Island man who is sick of potholes in his town has taken matters into his own hands. WJAR-TV reports that Seth Kurtstetter spent his own money on Sunday to fill holes on Center of New England Boulevard in Coventry, Rhode Island. Kurtstetter went to the Home Depot where he bought supplies to fix the most problematic potholes. He then blocked traffic, put out traffic cones, and worked for about 2 hours to fill the potholes.
What the hell did he use?
Probably just like those bags of... You ever see, like, yeah, you
got the patch?
Cement. Yeah, like, or it's just like asphalt. You, it comes in a bag. You just pour it out and like tamp it down
that
for
stuff,
like a driveway.
That stuff takes like forever to cure, doesn't it?
They might have. Maybe just
like friend of the show, Mark Nagy, told me that there's this new stuff they use that it's Kwikset.
Maybe that's what he got.
But it's kind of susceptible to heavy rain.
Maybe that's what we need to do. This I-40 mess. Those of us
640 is the worst.
40 West right now, but like right as you're approaching Bridgewater Road, you know where I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like right over there. Oh. Oh.
That's how I crack the oil pan.
It's brutal. I'll tell you what, Nagy, I know you're listening. If you don't get this situation fixed, you think I'm kidding. I'm going to get Bear and a couple of the interns here from Fan Run, a couple of cones. Quick trick to Home Depot. Buy a couple of bags of Quick Reet, whatever you call it. Take matters into our own hands. We're sick of waiting on the government to get off their lazy rear ends and do their job.
We'll send you the bill, Mark.
We will.
Yeah, up to your shelter. Doomsday.
Up to your ivory tower. That's the docket. Brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Folks, if you have some sort of injury, some sort of illness, some sort of disorder that prevents you from working and prevents you from earning, well, you need to know about Disability Advantage Group. They've helped thousands of clients obtain much-needed disability benefits, and they can help you and the people you love. Visit Disability Advantage Group online today at dag-us.com or call 865-566-0800. That's 566-0800. You can set up your free consultation today. One call does it all. Again, 865-566-0800. And again, that website is dag-us.com. Let's get Roger in here quickly. Roger, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio. What's up?
That's much. How y'all doing?
Doing well, Raj. How are you?
I'm fine. I'll hold you. I know you're on time. I'll hold you. I just want to ask you about tonight's game. I just want to ask you. What's the key to Bear? Real quick, I just want the key is. I know it's a point game tonight. Could the winner going to have to win to be able to keep the game? I just want to ask you. What does don't they have to do tonight to be able? I know they can do it. It's a good team. So I just want to ask you. What's the key tonight order to win the game to keep it game 7? What they have to do tonight? You think from winning tonight to keep the game, keep the series going? You think?
I don't want to oversimplify, but guard play hit a bunch of threes. Thompson and Steph just hit a bunch of threes.
Pretty much.
Obviously, Durant's out, and you know what you're going to get, I think, out of Draymond at this point. He's solid. Hit a bunch of threes, man. I mean, that's what they built their brand on. You know what you're going to get out of the Raptors. Should be a good game, man. Thanks for bringing it up, Raj. We are out of time. Thank you to Parker Pewitt, Trey Wallace for contributing this afternoon. For Bear, I am Russell. Stay with us. We've got overtime coming up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.